Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And there's been so much in the news this week. Of course, the latest news that just came across our message boards last night was the news about Jan Crouch from TBN. She suffered a massive stroke, and she's not expected to live. So she's in the hospital in Florida, and I'll be reporting on that story today. Also, later on in the program, I'll bring on my guest, the seed sower, and we'll be talking about this pastor who Matt Forty has a church called the Wine Barrel. Oh, I don't know, like, who has a church with that name? That's weird. But in the news this week, it came across that Hillsong apparently had a conference in New York City, and they bring on stage, now Elmo's on stage. Oh, Elmo? I don't think so. And also, apparently there's this guy that runs around New York City, and he calls himself the Naked Cowboy. And he doesn't have any clothes on usually, just his guitar covers him. Well, anyway, they bring the Naked Cowboy to this event. Now, he comes up on the platform with his guitar covering him, but it looks like he has a little something underneath anyway. But does that kind of thing belong in any kind of a so-called Christian event? I don't think so. Very, very strange. Very strange times we live in. And then on Sunday, I tune in to Rod Parsley's broadcast on iHeart TV, and there's Rod at his church, and of course he can't preach because he's been ordered to remain silent by God, but he thinks it's his doctors for 3 months, and even it could be a year, because a side effect of his throat cancer, which he claims he's healed of. But anyway, they have this acrobat at the church on Sunday, and she's swinging from the ceiling, and she has this little tight, short outfit on. And now you have to look up to look at this girl. So there's men in the church, and she's doing all these acrobatics, and now... Really, I wouldn't really want my husband looking at that on a Sunday morning. If you want acrobats, go to the circus. But don't bring an acrobat into the church on the Sunday morning that men have to look up at in a skimpy little costume while somebody actually was singing a worship song on the platform. Ah, I don't know. They call it church. They call it church, but it's not church. It's not church. Really, all it is, especially at Rod Parsley's place, it's a continual fundraising event for Rod and his vision, which his vision is collapsing around him, and Rod seems to be a little dopey over there. He doesn't realize that the judgment of God has fallen upon him. And if he doesn't repent of his wicked ways and his scamming, that he's going to lose everything that he built on sand anyway. He'll probably wind up losing everything. So when you build things on the sand and you build things and you don't build things on the Word of God, but you build things on scamming people and lying to people about finances. Now, look, and I get these weird comments all the time on my YouTube channel and people saying to me, well, what do you have against these people? I realize all of us have missed the mark at one time or another in our Christian walk. I'm sure we all have. But my point is that if we're going to do Christian ministry and we're going to be people of integrity and present ourselves like that, then we can't scam people out of money. We can't lie to people and tell them that if they give us money, they're going to get money, and if they give us money, they're going to get even more money, and run these Passover scams and run these seed faith scams and run these tithing scams. And no, we have to present ourselves in an honorable way as far as representing Jesus, of what Jesus represents, which Jesus doesn't represent any of that. That's not Jesus. I don't know of anybody in the Bible that ever went up to Jesus with money and handed Jesus money and said, Jesus, this is my seed I'm sowing, so remember me. You see the seed, Jesus? It's $100, so I'm expecting $1,000, Jesus, like when you see this, and I'm expecting my breakthrough, and I want to fulfill my destiny. Now, did anybody ever see that in the Bible? Is that there? No, it's not there. No, because that's not Jesus. So that's my main objection, is don't misrepresent the gospel of Jesus Christ for your own gain. We have to do things honestly and with integrity. And if we want to win people to the real Jesus Christ, the God of mercy, the God of truth, because Jesus says he exalts his word above his name. So truth is everything. If we don't have the truth, what do we have? Next week, I'll be bringing my guest Steve Lumley on from Apostasy Watch, his website, a great website, and we'll be talking about the Book of Enoch, the phony occult Book of Enoch. And yes, it is an occult book, and we will prove that to you if you're messed up in that foolishness. And also the Nephilim, which no one has yet to answer my question about. Please tell me now how a fallen angel, an angel in heaven, can come down from heaven. And we know that when angels are in heaven, they're not human beings. They don't have body parts. They don't have blood. Please tell me, and they are spirits, right? Spirits? So what spirit all of a sudden develops blood and body parts to father children? It's just stupid. I'm going to say it. It's stupid. And it's science fiction. It's the Twilight Zone. It doesn't happen, and it can't happen. And so a lot of these New Age Bible translations have this foolishness in it. But consider the source. Not every Bible out there is accurate. Now, I believe the Word of God is accurate. Yes, I don't believe there's mistakes in the Word of God, but some of these newer translations do exaggerate the Word of God, and they weren't written by the best authorities, and so they put this foolishness in there. But I have yet to have anybody answer that question for me, because Satan is not a creator. He doesn't create anything. No, he's not God. He's not omnipresent. He's not all-knowing. He doesn't know everything. There's no way Satan takes an angel, a fallen angel, down from heaven, and then he magically puts blood in this creature and male body parts to go father children. I don't know. I mean, I don't even know why people even really want to get involved in such foolishness. Why do you want to waste your time on nonsense? It doesn't make any sense. No one's going to go to heaven or hell over a Nephilim. You might go reading the Book of Enoch because you might get so deceived by this occult book that you pay more attention to it than the Word of God. So just be aware. Satan is very cunning, and he's also a liar, the father of lies. So we need to base what we believe on God's Word and not on the Twilight Zone. So anyway, next week we will be discussing that subject. Also, I saw that Eddie Long, now remember Eddie? Eddie Long, quite a well-known pastor from Georgia a few years ago, was discovered to have been, allegedly now, he was accused of having sexual relations with four young men from his church. And the four young men decided they were going to file a lawsuit against him, so they did. And Eddie, of course, denied it. And it was all over the news. I mean, even CNN picked up the story. So Eddie denied it, and so this lawsuit was, they were going to bring it to court. And Eddie decided that he was going to pay these young men off. So he swore he was going to fight these false accusations. Now, if someone was making an accusation like that against me, yes, I would fight it, because your name is everything. The Bible says your name is very important. And what you do as a Christian is very important. So, but Eddie didn't, he decided he wasn't going to fight for his name and his good reputation, but he settled this lawsuit with these young men. He really, what you call that is a payoff, and he paid them off, because when you have these settlements, then usually there's a gag order on the case, so these young men can't talk. Although one of them did write a book after the fact. I haven't read the book. A friend of mine did. The young man was Santino Kemp, and he wrote a book, I think it's something about First Lady, and he claims that Eddie called him the First Lady. Well, anyway, so now Eddie Long appears on Steve Harvey's show this week, and he's there. He's selling a book, Eddie. He's selling a book, and I don't remember the name of the book, but oh, dear. Okay, so he's playing the victim. He's the victim in all of this, because he had to go through a lot when these young men were making the accusations. Yeah, okay, if people are making accusations against you and they're not true, then I would be very, very upset. Yeah, that would upset me too. But you, if you have the truth on your side, then you know the truth is going to win in the end. But there's Eddie, and he writes his book about how he got through all this ordeal and whatever. Steve Harvey, of course, Steve Harvey didn't really press him enough, but he did ask him about the accusations, if they were true. And then, of course, Eddie, he quickly changes the subject, and he says that, well, he's not allowed to speak about any of that because of the litigation, blah, blah. But, yeah, well, he could have said he was innocent if he was really innocent. So anyway, and then there was a video put up on Ms. Justice's channel on YouTube, and there's a video there of Eddie at a book signing. Now, here's this guy that brought someone into his church to do fundraising that later was arrested for a Ponzi scheme, which Eddie Long brought this guy to his church. And Ephraim Taylor, I think his name was. Anyway, he's in jail now. But so there's actually people in this video where they're lined up. They're lined up. Eddie Long is sitting at a book table, and he's doing a book signing. And there's actually people waiting in line for his autograph. Now, I don't know. You can't make this up. You really can't make this up. But you see, what he's doing is he's feeling people out because he wants to see, well, can I get back to scamming? He still has his church, even though I think half the people left. He claimed that he had a church of 20,000, but that's an exaggeration. We used to call it evangelistic, and that's like stretching the truth. So there's no way his church near Atlanta has 20,000 seats. Nah, it doesn't have 20,000 seats. Now he claims that he has 10,000 members, but I guarantee you that church doesn't seat 10,000. I don't know how many people it seats. Maybe somebody can tell me. But anyway, he's still pastoring over there, even after this scandal. I wouldn't be going to that church if the man that was pastoring me had these kind of accusations, and then he never proved that he was innocent. He never admitted, because look, Christians are very forgiving, very forgiving. We can forgive anybody of just about anything if they tell the truth and they say, "Well, I did it. I'm an idiot. Forgive me." And so if you tell the truth, yeah, but if you keep avoiding the truth and you don't want to be honest, so why would you want to trust anybody like that? Why would you want to go to this type of a so-called church and be a part of this so-called ministry? I don't get people. Maybe they like the social club over there or something like that. But also, I saw this week, remember Brian Carn? People know Brian Carn. He's a young man. He calls himself a prophet. So a few months ago, Brian Carn was outed because he apparently had read a prophecy to a church, and he was holding notes, and he read this prophecy word for word, and he said that was his prophecy. He said, "These are my prophecies for the coming year." Okay, so somebody was smart enough to check this thing out, and they found out that Brian Carn actually took this prophecy from a psychic witch. She gave this prophecy before he did, before it was public. She gave it publicly, and then apparently or allegedly he copied it, and then he took it and he made it his own. So he was found out. But Benny Hinn, who he calls himself a man of God, Benny Hinn actually had him on his television program this week prophesying to people. And there was another brother on YouTube that made a video of how Brian Carn actually tells people their names, and he tells people things about themselves. Is he has them fill out these prayer cards while he's speaking, and he tells people to write their name, and he tells them to write what they're believing God for on these pieces of paper, and then he has them hold the paper up in the air. Hold it up in the air and close your eyes and let's ask God. And as he's doing that, he's walking around the audience. So he's reading these things. And then everyone's amazed that he can tell them their name. Look, I know my name. I don't need Brian Carn to tell me my name. I already know it. And then they're amazed because he knows what they're believing God for. But it's a trick. It's a trick. It's a magician's trick. And he's very good at it. He's very good at it. He's spent a lot of time studying his craft, witchcraft. So anyway, like I said, the news came out last night. Jan Crouch, and we a bunch of us got these messages about Jan having this massive stroke and saying that she was in a hospital in Florida and that she wasn't expected to live after the family. And some of the TBN attorneys had consulted with the doctors that they didn't think she was going to make it. So then the story was published either last night or this morning on Charisma News, which I guess people think it's more believable if they read it over there, because some people were doubting that the story was true. But it came from a reliable source anyway, from who we heard it from. But anyway, a friend of mine had, he received this post from Kara Crouch, who is the daughter of Paul Crouch Jr., which, you know, they've all been banned from TBN. Paul Crouch Jr. was fired from TBN. And his daughters also were banned from TBN. Brittany worked there as the chief financial officer, and she was fired because she was bringing some of the financial improprieties to their attention, and they didn't like it. So they fired Brittany. And then they fired Paul Jr., and they fired, I guess, Brandon, his son, Paul Jr.'s son. I think he was also fired. And then there was Kara. I'm not sure that she worked there, but Paul Jr. had three children, has three children. And there was a lot of friction with the family, and that side of the family now, Paul Jr.'s side of the family, they were not invited to the memorial service of his father, Paul Crouch Sr., when he died. Also, they were not allowed, they didn't even know he died. Brittany found out that her grandfather died from somebody messaging her on Facebook. That's how she found out, because the family didn't even tell them that he died. Matt and Jan and the rest of that bunch over there, because, of course, Matt Crouch, who it has been alleged now by Brittany Crouch that Matt is not the biological son of Paul Crouch Sr., that Matt Crouch is actually the son of Jan Crouch and someone she had an affair with, Mr. America Dick Dubois. And if you go on the internet, you can also see it if you're looking at my program page on Blog Talk Radio. You can see the pictures, and you can see that Matt looks exactly like Dick Dubois. They're twins. They could pass for twins. But anyway, so now it seems that Matt will inherit everything. He'll inherit, the network supposedly is worth close to $1 billion at this point. And they take in, and this is a public record, so this is not something I'm making up. It's public record, their income for 2014 alone, selling TV airtime is $50 million. So $50 million is a lot of money that they take in legitimately. So really, they never need to have telethons. What do they need to have a telethon for if they're making $50 million a year just on the airtime? But just like greed, when people are greedy, they never have enough. So in order to get another $50 million a year, which their income is over $100 million, they have to have these telethons, and all they do is scam people. They tell people that if you send money into TBN, you're going to get more money, you're going to get your prayers answered, you're going to get healed. Well, it didn't help Jan, did it? I mean, I could imagine she's probably sown a lot of seeds over the years. It didn't help her, And also, I noticed someone made a comment today on Facebook saying, well, where's Benny Hinn? Like, why isn't he over there? So if God doesn't heal you, I don't care who smacks their hand on your head. You're not going to get healed in that sense. If you're really saved, you'll get healed in the ultimate sense where you'll die and go to heaven. That's the ultimate healing for all of us. So Jan's spiritual condition is doubtful, really, in my estimation, because real Christians, real Christian people, we don't scam people. We don't take what doesn't belong to us. We do an honest day's work. We have integrity. And so people that call themselves Christians and then they run these financial scams to get rich, to get more money, to me, they're not really Christians. It just doesn't go together. So anyway, this morning, Kara Crouch posted this message on Facebook, and I'll read it to you. Kara Crouch, who is Paul Jr.'s daughter. Nice, very nice young girl. As some of you may have heard, my grandmother, Jan Crouch, has suffered a severe stroke this past week and is in critical condition in a hospital in Florida. She most likely won't make it without divine intervention. This post is more for those of you who have been blinded and misled by my half-uncle. Now, she calls him her half-uncle, Matthew Crouch. Because of his greed and desire for power and control, our entire family has been exiled and will not get to say goodbye. My heart aches for my father, who has to hear of his mother dying from afar and will not get a chance to kiss his mother goodbye. The pain must be unbearable. First, I'd like to ask for prayer, not only for my grandmother, but that those of us who won't get a chance to say goodbye, that we are able to have peace in this very confusing and difficult time. Second, I want to say that life is precious and short, and to always cherish your loved ones. They'll be gone before you know it. P.S. Congratulations, Matt. You won. Now what? Well, I mean, imagine that they won't even let Paul, at least Paul Jr., go and say goodbye to his mother. What can that hurt? She's not conscious. Oh, I'm telling you. How awful. Matt Crouch should be ashamed of himself. And if you get a chance, call TBN and tell them. He needs to be ashamed of himself, that whole bunch over there. There's no way Paul Jr. is going to inherit the network at this point. Jan can't change her will. I don't know what her will says. We'll be surprised maybe by the will. Maybe she did leave something to Paul Jr. But maybe Matt will inherit it all now, and he'll run it into the ground, I'm sure. Because to me, he doesn't seem like he's a very good money manager. And he doesn't seem to have what it takes to be able to run that network the way it is, because after all, it's not really a Christian network. There's a little bit of Christian stuff on there every now and then, but the majority of TBN is full of false prophets and false teachers and money-grubbing preachers. So my idea of a real Christian television is if you don't do any fundraising at all, no telethons, no seed sowing scams, no Passover scams, no Day of Atonement scams. Like, you just eliminate all that and you preach the gospel. And there should always be openings for books. I am a believer in books and literature, because these are things you can hand down after we're gone. Writing is a profession, and I admire journalists, good journalism, and good book writing, because those things will still be here. Maybe the internet won't be here. Maybe television won't be here as we know it, but books will always be here. And we can leave those behind for people. You know, thank God for books like the Fox's Book of Martyrs and the books that have been left behind by many people. So I'm not opposed to Christians selling their books, because you have to work to write a book. And I believe that if you work, you should be paid. So, but my idea of if there's going to be a real future for real Christian television is to have no fundraising at all, not to allow it. And because we don't really see much preaching of the gospel, of the real gospel on television. We see a lot of foolishness. So anyway, if you get a chance to protest, call TBN and tell them that Matt Crouch, he should be ashamed of himself, really, because that is Jan Crouch's son, Paul Crouch Jr., and he should be able to say goodbye to his mother. If he's got a Facebook page or a Twitter page or a Instagram page or whatever, or if you're near the hospital over there in Florida, go over there and stand there with a sign or something and protest, because that's disgraceful. It really is. And when they buried, even when they buried Paul Crouch Sr., they didn't have any big public memorial. And then Jan Crouch buries him in an unmarked grave. It's not even a grave. It's one of those where when you go to some cemeteries, they have these stone walls, and then they have these drawers where they put either ashes or maybe some of them have coffins in them. I don't know. But that's where she buried Crouch Jr., and his name isn't even on there. So they didn't think much of him, did they? Nah, they didn't think much of him. I guarantee you he probably had a cemetery plot, and he probably had a headstone of some sort, because he probably wanted to be remembered. But no, Jan and Matt put him in this box, and you don't even know he's there. So I wonder if they'll have a memorial, a public memorial for Jan Crouch if she does pass away. But I would like to see the other side of the Crouch family just go on over there and call CNN and call the media and say, my Uncle Matt won't let us in to the memorial service here. That would be interesting, wouldn't it? Make some interesting headlines there. But so if you feel like saying something later on, I will, if I see Matt Crouch's Instagram or Facebook or whatever, that he should be ashamed of himself, that his half-brother, who is the mother, who his mother is Jan Crouch, and they won't even allow him to go and say goodbye to his unconscious mother. Ugh. Honestly, these people. Now, come on. Now, what is Christian about that? Is there something? Is that Christian? Is that Christian? What's he afraid of? What's he afraid of, that they're going to bring the will into the hospital room and Jan's going to change it? Is that what it's all about? Break, please. Don't support TBN. Don't support TBN. Don't give them another dollar. They don't need any more money. They're worth almost $1 billion as it is. Let them use their own money. They have plenty of it. They don't need any money from you. So that's it. I don't see a real future for TBN, especially if Jan passes away. It's the end of an era, and we're seeing that more and more. It's the end for most of these people. And let's see a new day dawning in the church where we're not going to fall for this foolishness anymore, for these con games, and for these pastors and so-called leaders that all they do is get up on Sunday morning and beg for offerings, and They don't know how to live by faith. So how are they going to teach you how to live by faith? Yeah, it's easy to live by faith when you have 100 people or 1,000 people or 10,000 people giving you 10% of their income. That's not faith. That's not faith. So I don't want to hear it. Look, if you can't preach the truth to me, then I'm not going anywhere. I'm not walking out my front door to hear you. That's for sure. So don't waste your time. It's time for us to raise a standard and say enough is enough already. And if you're not going to preach the truth to me, why am I even going to bother? I don't need friends that bad. Get yourself a pet. You'll have a good friend right there. But for the most part, your pastor probably isn't even your best friend. I remember when I had a television program, and I was on television for 2 years back in the, like, 1985, I think through 1987, I had a talk show, and I was on the cable access network in Denver and Aspen, Colorado. And I was attending a church. I'm telling you, my church didn't even support my television ministry. Now, my own church didn't, that the church I was attending and paying tithes to at the time. No, they didn't support me. No. But when they had a guest speaker come through, they sure helped support their projects. But that's how it was. And that's probably how it still is in many so-called churches, where they don't even support the ministers that are sitting there in the congregation that have ministries. They treat you like stepchildren, right? I mean, not all stepchildren are mistreated, but usually they're not treated as good as the real children. So anyway, I'm going to bring my guest on, and we will be talking about this wine barrel family church. Now, did you ever think you were going to hear a name like that? Wine Barrel Family Church with Pastor Matt Ford. Well, that's astonishing, isn't it? Oh, I think this is my guest here. I hope so. Is this my guest?
Yep. I've been listening to you. Very good, Susan. Yeah.
Thank you. Miss Seed Sower. This is my guest, Miss Seed Sower.
Yes.
And she has an interesting story. She brought it to my attention a couple weeks ago. I said, well, you have to come on and tell us, because apparently she put up this video and was calling out some of the things that this wine barrel, the Wine Barrel Family Church there. Now, who would want to take their family to the wine barrel? That's curious right there. But Matt Ford, the pastor there, somehow he got a hold of this video, and it upset him. He was a little upset. And so then he set our sister, Miss Seed Sower, up, set her up. And so we'll get the rest of the story from you. So how did this all happen?
Well, about 6 years ago, I'd done a video on the Drunken Glory movement. And in the video, I mentioned John Crowder and Benjamin Dunn, who are in America here, and also James Goll, who's part of the Inner New Apostolic Reformation. And he seems to be, as far as I can see, the father of this particular little section of the movement. And it's what Andrew Strong calls the Kundalini. They have the Kundalini spirit. It's not of the Lord. And so I put this video up, and then just out of the blue, about a month ago, Matt Ford left me a comment on my video, and which read, "God bless your ministry in exposing this heresy." And beside this little comment was a link. And when I clicked on it, it took me to his response to my video. And he was quite the crafty one. I'm sort of wondering if he thought I wouldn't go to his video unless he lured me there with a fake
comment. He lured you there, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe he thought I was afraid of him. I don't know what the
tricky,
problem is. But anyway.
Tricky
yeah.
Matt.
Yeah, and in his video, he has my video up on a big screen in his church. And he's using it as an object lesson for his congregation. And he proceeds to say that the video has been watched by the Drunken Glory community around the world and that they all got a huge laugh out of it. Well, that just thrilled my soul because I couldn't believe that God had caused that video to be heard by the very ones it was directed at, even if it took 6 years. You know, God doesn't always work instantaneously, but I
yeah.
just praise God for that because, you know, we work for the Lord, and we never know really sometimes who we're affecting with what we're doing, you know.
Yeah.
And we just continue on anyway. And then anyway, he boasts of having an award-winning, highly acclaimed architect and school teachers on his team, and that he's had doctors and lawyers and pilots on his team. And why he found this relevant, I'm not sure, because, you know, we know that God chooses the weak things of the world to confound the wise. He doesn't go out looking for the big shots, you know. But anyway, maybe he felt this made his ministry more relevant or himself more important. But as he goes on in his video, he said he wanted his congregation to pray for me that I'd have joy and get rid of the arthritis in my hands. By the way, I don't have arthritis, any form of arthritis in my body at all. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, he wanted you. Now, why did he say he wanted you to get rid of the arthritis in your hands?
Well, I got the feeling. You see, he fancies himself a bit of a prophet. And perhaps he's trying to impress his congregation with his prophetic skills. I don't know. But anyway, he also mentions, while he's insulting me, that he loves me, and he told me he'd be quite happy to meet with me and for me to get a team together to cast out of him whatever I thought was in him that's not of God.
Well, you'd probably need a team.
It's quite a bit of comedy if you can stomach the rest of what he says if you go to view the video. And he makes reference to the day of Pentecost, which to him and these Drunken Glory fellas, they call it one giant drunken slosh fest, and they make all these noises and carry-ons like Patricia King and all the rest of the goons holler out.
Yeah, where is his church located?
Well, it's down in Brisbane, Australia.
Okay.
And I think he sort of makes a lot of claims that are not true about his congregation, but his account of the day of Pentecost is totally ridiculous. And at one point he says he's in the midst of a vision and he slaps himself, saying he's trying to get out of it. And he states, and this is what he says. He says, yin yang, back into alignment, rub Buddha's belly, love you, Mohammed. You know, and he seriously looks and acts like a person that's overcome with Tourette's syndrome. And he makes fun of the fact that I quote the King James version. And I do that because I don't have to worry about any copyright when I quote the KJV in a video. But it's obviously that's another thing that gets under his skin, along with the fact that I quote scripture in my videos. Yes, crazy.
Don't quote scripture.
Oh, no, he doesn't like that.
No.
And he really makes fun of it, but he makes a fool of himself in the process, really.
Yeah, he has a church. He has a church.
Yeah, he has a church. Yeah.
Wine barrel.
Yeah, wine barrel. Well, that's because they're all full of the Drunken Glory, sister.
I'm telling you.
He staggers all over the place. You know, just acts like a drunk person. Because that's what you're supposed to do when you've got the Holy Spirit, according to him. But,
yeah, well, they still do that because that's kind of passé because that happened over here back in the 90s, and then it went out of fashion.
Well,
He picked it up. What did he do? What, did Rodney Howard Brown go over there and lay hands on him or something?
Well, no, he got in with this John Crowder, and I'm sure that John Crowder's got some sort of connection with Rodney Howard Brown, I would say. that James Gold does, I know. And as I said, that James Gold seems to be their mentor of Benjamin Dunn and John Crowder and Matt Ford, I would say. But he starts talking about all the angels that manifest in his meetings, from which he claims he gleans feathers, and he stuffs his doona with them. And a doona is the Aussie word for a down comforter. And then he goes on how his comforter floats above his bed because it's stuffed with all these angel feathers.
Wow.
And he calls me crazy, sorry.
Yeah.
And at one point,
that sounds like Aladdin in the Magic Carpet Ride or something.
The duvet
is floating over your bed.
Right, but see, he's trying to impress his followers, you know, that he's so great that all these things happen to him, you know. But that's what they're like. It's like that Patricia King is the same way. But he goes on and he says he's trying to go into another trance again, and then he claims he's got great self-control, more than most Christians he knows, and then he tells me I don't have a renewed mind, and I don't have the mind of Christ. But anyway, he claims he runs a Bible school down there.
Oh, God, no.
God help those people.
Please. Oh, dear.
And he claims that some days he studies his Bible up to 16 hours a day.
Oh.
Right. And he says he's been a Bible teacher for 11
years. Which Bible
is
it? The Satanic Bible?
I don't know.
Or the Message? Which one?
I have
Must
no clue.
Must be one of those.
Yeah.
Oh, please.
But he claims he loves the word, but
he loves
actually,
it. Yeah,
he proves he doesn't.
It.
Yeah. And he also claims that when, this is a good one, he claims that when he's out in public, people tingle when he gets near them. It's kind of, that reminded me of Chris Matthews saying that when somebody mentioned the name of Obama, he got a tingle up his leg or something. I don't know what his problem is, but anyway.
He's really far out, this guy.
Yeah, he boasts about all his gifts, but he manifests no fruit of the Holy Spirit whatsoever. And by his character and his nature, the way he portrays himself, it shows you that he's not of God. He's very vulgar. If you watch the video, there's a couple of places you'll pick up on it that he's just, I wouldn't repeat what he says. But
yeah.
And at another point, he howls like a wolf and yells Jezebel, which is directed at me, of course. And at the end of the video...
All this is going on in the video...
Right.
...that he's sending to you and criticizing
right.
you. So it's directed at you,
it's
all
directed,
of this.
Right. It's all directed at me.
Wow.
And, you know, some of his congregation...
It really bothered him.
Oh, yeah.
It really bothered him.
Yeah, and when I was listening to it, look, I was laughing and I was rejoicing and I was thinking, what a shame that you don't know the true joy of God, because the true joy of God is not frivolous and stupid. It's the kind of joy that's deep-seated and that will carry you through every situation in life that you have to go through. And
yeah.
He's got no clue as to the joy of God. The true joy of God is not drunken foolishness. But then at the end of his video, he said he'd provide a plane ticket and a hotel room for me if I wanted to meet with him.
Oh, yeah. Why not? Hope you
not
take him up on
years,
it.
Mate.
As long
not
as he, as long as he broadcasts it, if I was going, he would have to fulfill my requirements that it was broadcast on television there and also live on YouTube.
Well, yes. And I'd have to get me up a team first.
Well, yeah, but that would be great. I would call his bluff there. Okay.
Yeah.
As long as I can get publicity and you and I can have a little discussion here and we can compare Bible scriptures and
right.
We'll see which one is right. We'll see which one is
well,
right. And whichever one is not right has to repent.
Exactly. And I did do a response back to his video in which I told him he needed to watch Andrew Strom's video series on the Kundalini warning. And then he posted this comment under my video, which I wanted to read to you. And he said, I love Andrew Strom. He's a brother in Christ. He was in Brisbane a couple of years ago, and I went to visit him with my staff. I stood directly behind him throughout the whole meeting. If Brother Strom can discern a Kundalini from 500 yards, how come he couldn't detect mine? And then he says, I have to say he needs to loosen up and get happy. His poor daughter's dressed like Amish slaves. Then he says, let's chat about pride. What makes you right and me wrong? Our interpretation of the word, what we wear, does me wearing my clergy collar make me religious? Should I stop doing funerals in case the saints end up in hell by mistake? In the end, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. Doesn't that annoy you? he says, my congregation laughed their hearts out when I played your video. No one takes your rebuke seriously. Who are you? None of my 200,000 congregation has even heard of you. They think you need psychiatric help. They think you need psychiatric help, to be honest. You are trying to be
yourself.
No,
this is directed at you.
Right.
His congregation.
Right.
And he's telling you that you need psychiatric help.
Yes.
Oh, dear. After all that, the feathers flying in the air and the tingling in his leg, and you need psychiatric care. Oh.
Right.
And who are you anyway? Who are you?
I know. I'm nothing. I'm just one of the brethren. I'm just a mere servant.
And who cares?
I am nothing like him.
I don't want to be anything. Please,
He says, you are trying to be a self-appointed rebuker of all things happy. Well, sister, rebuke your heart out. Take your meds and stop annoying those who are doing way more for God than you ever will.
Wow.
And then he says, how many orphanages do you fund? How many homeless do you feed a month? Jesus told us to feed the poor, didn't he? Whenever I fuel up my super expensive Hummer, I always look around to pay for someone else's fuel.
Wow.
Usually an elderly person just to bless them. Or is that a demonic blessing? Isn't this pathetic? So pathetic. I know a few really good, solid men of God, and they'd no more talk like this to somebody who they felt didn't agree with them than fly in the air. But anyway, he says, my Hummer is probably worth more than your house. and then he says, did the church pay for it? No. Was it through offerings? No. It was a gift.
And then
he says, give Andrew Stroppy Pants a huge hug for me next time you share notes. Much love and blessings, not demonic, Matty. End quote.
Yeah. Wow.
End quote. Yeah, so he's quite a piece of work. It's so sad to me that kind of person with that kind of character and nature is trying to lead people in the truth of the gospel. Of course he's not.
Well, and he is. I mean, he's got a congregation. I don't know how big it is. Do you know how big his congregation actually is?
Well, I've seen some videos on YouTube, because he's got a lot of videos on YouTube, and it looks like maybe he's got 30 or 40 people in the particular room with him.
Oh.
But he doesn't fan back in his videos. And
so you can't really see the congregation. Yeah,
right.
So if you want to see some of his videos, my listeners here, you go to Pastor Matt Ford.
Yes.
On YouTube. And then where is the video if they want to see his video response to you? Because it is a long video.
Right. The first what started it was the video on YouTube called Drunk with Demons. And then he did the response, which says, Matt Ford, drunk with demons, according to Seed Sower 234.
Okay.
And then you'll see my response to him. It should all be there on the same YouTube page.
So that's your YouTube page or his?
Well, if you pull up YouTube, if you type those titles in, you'll see both mine and his should come up on the same roster when you
It's interesting to see his video response to her, and to see him saying all these things to her.
Right. Well, he did.
Yeah, it's all on video.
Right. He sort of went backwards and forwards with me. And in one of his other comments, you know, in what I just read to you, he claimed he had a $200,000. I mean, sorry, not dollar. $200,000 congregation. But when he responds back to me again, he sort of clarifies a bit and says that those 200,000 people are evidently he's got some sort of radio show down there in Brooklyn.
Yeah, yeah.
And he says those statistics, the internet statistics, show that he's got 200,000 people that listen to him. God help them. Can you imagine?
Well, maybe 200,000 over 10 years or something, but
yeah.
I doubt that
but
he has that many people
sick.
Listening every week or every day.
Right.
No, I don't think so.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like when you're a big hit in America, and then nobody knows your name, like some of these, you know, singers or actors, they can't get anything going here, so they go to a foreign country, and then because they have a famous name, they can start a new career. So it's kind of like he took something that happened here in the 1990s, and then he kind of revived it there in Australia. And a lot of people really that were involved in this Rodney Howard Brown thing and this drunk thing, a lot of them did wind up mentally ill. And,
right. Well, this has been going on down there. He is highly connected with John Crowder and another guy by the last name of Vaughn. I think it's Dave Vaughn, who's an American, who's currently, I mean, he's involved here in America too. I mean, they've all been going at it. I first discovered John Crowder and Benjamin Dunn back around 2008. So it's been going on, and he's Matt Ford's, you know, connected with them. If you can see him in videos with John Crowder.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, that's very interesting. Well, Ms. Seed Sower, keep us posted now if you decide to take him up on his offer to. Fly out there, because I think that would be exciting.
Yeah.
For you to sit on the platform with him and go back and forth. I think that would be great, really.
That's not my bag, sister, as they would say.
Yeah, but I just think it would be priceless. You know, because
a lot of times,
probably he wouldn't really take you up on the offer, but I think that that if you can really. Some of these people that I talk about, I would love to sit on a platform with them or have them come on my program
and talk to me,
you know, and talk to me because we'll see. Because the truth will win in the end. So it's always interesting,
but I
doubt seriously that he would really actually fly you out there because he sounds like he's full of hot air anyway. But
he's full of feathers.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for coming on and sharing that testimony. Thank you so much.
Yes.
And don't forget to check out the Seed Sower's YouTube channel, and you'll see her videos there and also Matt Ford, so that you can see the comparison, because it is quite interesting, his response to her. And like she said, you never know who's listening. We put these things out, and we hope that we're going to reach the people that we're directing it to. So it's always, it brings us great joy to know that they did listen, regardless of whether they heeded what we were saying. Maybe eventually they will, but all right, God bless you, sister.
Right. God meant it for a reason.
He did.
Yes,
he really
even
did.
If it was just a warning for his soul before he dies.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Susan. Okay, bye-bye.
All right. All right, then. So that's our program for today. Have a great weekend, everybody. I guess you all have Monday off, right? Hallelujah. And I also want to give a shout-out to my new listening audience there on Rapture Ready Radio. Thank you so much, Jackie Alnor, for inviting me to be a part of that network. I appreciate it so very much. And don't forget also my new book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. And currently it is available on Lulu, LULU.com. Eventually it will be on Amazon. The Kindle version is on Amazon currently. And next week I hope to do my global distribution of the book. I believe that it will help many people. And if you have people that are involved in the Word of Faith movement, and everything that's in the book is documented facts. I didn't put anything in there that has not been documented. And I think it's eye-opening for many people to see how a lot of these so-called ministries operate, how they do their fundraising, and some of the things that happen to their lives and to their so-called ministries. But so that's available. And the YouTube channel, Susan Puzio, there's some good videos on there. I'm sure that can help you. But most of all, don't forget to read the Word of God this week. Be a good Berean and find out if the things that we say are so. Don't forget next week our great program with Steve Lumley on the occult book of Enoch and Nephilim. Also, the week after that, I will have my very special friend, David Lee, who wrote Sunday Morning Stick Up, What Pastors Don't Want You to Know About the Tithe. I think that's the subtitle. I'm probably not quoting it correctly, but anyway, that's a great book, and he found out for himself that tithing was never money, and it is not a New Testament requirement. So he wrote the excellent book, Sunday Morning Stick Up, and he will be coming on with Ms. Rhonda, who we had on last week, who was a T.D. Jakes associate for many years, worked on staff there at the Potter's House, and David Lee also worked for many years with the T.D. Jakes ministry doing the marketing. And he is also very knowledgeable about some of the things that went on behind the scenes. He goes way back with him to when T.D. Jakes actually had the church in West Virginia. And he moved to Dallas to be a part of that ministry and was there up until about a few years ago when he was bodily removed from the church. And why was he bodily removed from the church? Because of his book, Sunday Morning Stick Up, which he never even mentions T.D. Jakes in the book. And but they didn't like that book. They didn't like that book. So they wanted to get rid of David Lee. And he was actually escorted out physically by security, by the police. So he's been on here before, and I am excited that he's coming back again to be with us. And Ms. Rhonda Phillips and her great book, You Don't Know My Testimony. So those are some of the things we have coming up in the weeks ahead. And we're going to also do a program on health. That should be an interesting program, right? So anyway, we'll see what happens. We'll keep you posted about the latest news about Jan Crouch, but at this moment it doesn't look good, And I hope somehow, some way that the members of Paul Crouch Jr.'s family can get to say their goodbyes, that the Lord will open a door for them somehow, some way. So God bless you all. Don't forget, the most important thing today is to give your life to Jesus Christ. If you're not born again, that's not just a term that somebody made up. Jesus said it himself in the third chapter of John, that ye must be born again. First you're born of your mother. Then ye must be born again of the Spirit of God. You must believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, that he died on the cross, that he rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. And he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he's coming again. Hallelujah, he's coming again. No, the devil will not destroy this world. Jesus Christ will return. He's coming again. And you can have a home in heaven today. You can know that you're going to heaven. You can know it. And you can receive forgiveness of your sins. Read the book of Romans. Confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. And no matter what you've done in life, God can forgive you. And he will forget about it. And he will help you to forget about it. And when you're born again, you have a brand new life. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new again. And we know what it is to have a brand new life in Christ. We know what our old life was like, and we know what our new life is like. And I like my new life a lot better. I'm telling you, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world to have my relationship with Jesus Christ, my wonderful Lord and Savior. So God bless you all today. See you next week. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.